I want to read a quote to you that is very telling, very instructive about the Me Too movement from one of the founders, Tarana Burke. Tarana Burke, a Me Too founder, commenting recently, suddenly a movement that was started to support all survivors of sexual violence is being talked about like it's a vindictive plot against men. And I'm like, huh? How did we get here? We got here because it was very predictable, Tron. I got to be honest with you. My next guest here is Renee Jolly, the parent of a son who was falsely accused by a female student, wrongfully expelled from a university because that's the standard anymore. Believe all women and men be damned. That's basically, if you're a guy, you're guilty. That's been the attitude of this for some time. Renee, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Now, your son falsely accused and run off. I mean, and Betsy DeVos trying to adjust it so that these universities can't just conduct themselves like kangaroo courts, and yet they're getting a bunch of pushback as if something that she's doing is wrong. You know, here's the thing. We need to protect our boys and our girls equally, don't we?
Absolutely. I have boys, I have girls. The last thing I thought on my mind when I sent my children off to campus was some of this injustice was going to happen, and especially to my son. I was more worried, if anything, of my daughters, not my sons. So the process really needs to be fair for both parties. As it stands today, like you mentioned, the cards are stacked on the accuser's side, and the new proposed guidance from Betsy DeVos's Department of Education does not take away the cards from the accusers, but rather it gives an equally stacked deck of cards to the accused. And only when both sides have an equally stacked deck of cards can there be a more fair process.
Hey, if you would, give me a brief overview of what happened to your son. How old was he? Where did he go to school? And what happened, real quickly?
Sure, yeah. My son's case is still under investigation by the Department of Education Office of Civil Rights, so I don't want to say too much.
Okay.
What I do want to share is that, to help listeners understand what's really happening, is it started with an unexpected email that he got from the Student Conduct Office. And when he was emailed to come into that office, he wasn't told anything beyond that other than they wanted to meet and discuss with him a potential student code violation. The email didn't tell him anything specific, like what he was being accused of, who was accusing him, what incident was in question, or even when the incident occurred. And he had 30 minutes at that meeting to refute or explain anything, and that is the entire amount of time he ever had during this entire process.
That was the entire investigation. That was the whole thing. He got ambushed. No time to collect his thoughts or to discuss what had happened or had not happened. Did he know the person, not know the person? Nothing.
Absolutely. And what he learned, after he learned that, he was able to give the name of two students who were at the event, the night in question, including walking in the room and eyewitnesses. He had photographs as evidence. He had plenty of evidence to support that he was telling the truth. But the school absolutely ignored all the evidence because, like many other students who are in his position at their universities, once they're accused, they're assumed guilty. And there's no innocent until proven guilty on the university campuses. It doesn't matter what evidence shows, what text messages are showing, no matter how openly and honestly they tell the truth. The likelihood in today's university and campus culture is you are found responsible even if the evidence is on your side.
So when people are falsely accused, oftentimes it's a vindictive measure, just like the founder said, it's a vindictive movement against men. I believe that to be true. I think it's a way for men to be targeted. If there's a axe to be ground, this is an easy way to do it in many cases. I'm not saying that's always the case, but oftentimes it could be the case. And like I said, we should take accusations of sexual violence very seriously, but at the same time, we can't just run men out on a rail based on an allegation, can we?
No, we can't. And, in a justice system, even in the university tribunal system, when you start by believing, which is the narrative that,
all women must be believed. That's right, because women never lie.
Right. But when you start by believing the accuser, by default, in effect, you're disbelieving the respondent. So, there is no fairness or due process. I mean, everybody lies. And so that is why it's so important to have a fair system.
So let me ask you this, without delving, you know, into your son's case, because it's still under investigation, did he left that school? Is he in school somewhere else?
Yes, he left that school. He was a sophomore, and he was able to get into another university. It was very difficult to do because with an expulsion on your record, most schools don't want you. And so he was able to get into another university, and he actually just graduated. So we're very grateful for that opportunity.
So he was expelled, and just tell me, based on what evidence? Any evidence, or just she said he did it, and therefore he was expelled, and that was the sum total?
It was a she said, he said, and he presented a lot of evidence. We actually had to hire an investigator, a private investigator, and an attorney. They even brought up more evidence that my son didn't even know about. And even the accuser's friends who were part of this evening, they testified because there was no hearing.
Right.
But they were called in and they gave their statements of the story.
They gave statements. Go ahead.
Right. They gave a statement which corroborated my son's statement, but it was left off the report. So exculpatory evidence was left off the final report. Evidence wasn't even considered if it corroborated his side of the story.
Well, I certainly hope that the university that you will be naming when this is all done, because you'll be naming them in a civil lawsuit, because I just know you have to, because you can't let them slide with this behavior. I hope they learn their lesson. Whether they do or not, Renee, I don't know. But, Renee, I greatly appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on this morning, Steve.
There you have it. Renee Jolly, her son, still fighting back against false allegations. And listen, you can't sacrifice your sons in favor of your daughters. Everybody needs to be listened to. Everybody needs to be heard. That's why we have due process, a foundational principle in the United States of America. That's why it's here. 52 after on the Steve Gruber Show.
Get your free water test today from Wolverine Water Systems.
Are you tired of the way your water looks, tastes, or smells?
With decades of experience, Wolverine Water can manage your situation no matter what the problem. And every single Wolverine Water System is made right here in Michigan, because we're locally owned and operated. Wolverine offers a variety of systems to guarantee we meet your water needs. Get your free water test today from Wolverine Water by logging on to WolverineWaterSystems.com. WolverineWaterSystems.com. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
Some of the coolest homes are also some of the warmest. Homeowners who have an eye for detail and quality often have their eye on Oil Heat for its exceptional warmth and its friendly service. Oil Heat is